Thank God for those words. He can save everyone. There is no restriction. There is nothing on God's side that will prevent you being saved. It rests with you. It's my responsibility to present the gospel to you. Look to the Lord for needed help. But having presented it to you, it is your responsibility. It's solemn. It's not something to be taken lightly. We're dealing not with matters that affect us today, tomorrow. We're dealing with your eternal person. For make no mistake, you will live eternally. The question is, where? With the Lord? Or in the lake of fire? That is your choice tonight. I cannot make a choice for you. I know what my choice has been. But it's your choice. You decide. It's solemn. Oh, treat it as the most important decision you will ever make. There is nothing more important than your eternal destination. Tonight is your opportunity to decide for the Lord Jesus and a place with him eternally. I wonder if you would turn with me to the first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 15. Well-known scripture, and I am sure if you have sat in the gospel meeting, you have heard these scriptures read. But the Holy Spirit of God can use these words tonight, for your salvation, for your eternal security. You may have heard them many times, but tonight, allow these words to go deep into your conscience. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. That's sufficient. Pray that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Those of you, and I think all of you, were in the meeting this afternoon, and you heard our brother give an outline of the gospel. I just read it, not in the same words, but in virtually the same thoughts. That the Lord Jesus died for our sins. That he was buried. And that he rose again. According to the scriptures. And that he was seen. That is the good news of the gospel. That is the news that we preach, and that is the news which will give you eternal salvation. Christ died for our sins. Here we see the sent one from God. The Christ of God is presented to us in these verses written by the apostle. The picture of the Lord Jesus coming into this world as a man. Never forget that he is God. And never ceased to be God at any moment. Eternally the same, I am. And all the power and might of that glorious person. The one who created heaven and earth. The one who at a word brought the worlds into being. Who brought light into darkness. Who established the goings of the whole universe and maintains it hour by hour, nay, second by second. All things subsist by him. That one. came into this world, sent from God. For God so loved the world that he gave that one. He gave him in love for you and me. I know that love. I've received that love. That love that caused him to come from the highest pinnacle of heaven into this world, a world characterized by violence, corruption, and sin. Can you imagine what that was like for the Holy One? The one who knew no sin, to come into this world, a world of sin and suffering, a world where every possible means of hatred is employed day by day, week by week, a world where there is absolutely no thought of God before the eye of man. Read the first two chapters of Romans, and you will get the picture. He came there. The Holy One, the one who could not sin, came into this world to show out the love of God. To show out how much God loved you and me. To show out God's thoughts. To reveal the heart of God toward men. In order that men could know God. He came to do that. And he showed it out throughout his life. As we follow him as a man, what do we see? We see him healing the sick. We see him showing compassion to the leper, to the outcast, to the people that people want nothing to do with. He took them by the hand. He spoke to them. He eats and drinks with sinners. That is what was said of our Lord. And it was said in despising him, because he did it. And he did it for you and me. To show out God's heart. Do we see it? You've heard the Lord Jesus speak in this world. You've seen and read the scriptures. You've heard them from your earliest days, most of us. Many in this room brought up in Christian homes where we have heard the scriptures read from our earliest day. And we've heard of the love of God. We've seen it shown out in his life. But his life wouldn't save you or me. All his kindness, all his grace, all his compassion would not save my soul. We read what was required Christ died for our sins. Can we go to Calvary tonight? Can we see him, the Holy One, in the hall of Pilate, being judged by a Roman governor who was at the beck and call of the Jewish priests, one who was incapable of making a decision for himself? Can we see our Savior there? A crown of thorns on his head, one who had been beaten and scourged, spit upon, who had been stripped of his clothes and given something to wear, a robe. What did Pilate say? Behold the man. Look at him. That's what the word behold is. Look. Look hard. Pay attention. It's what the teacher in the classroom would say. Behold, look. That's what this word means. Look at him. Behold this man. This man of whom Pilate could say, I find no fault in him. Crucify him. That's Roman justice. That's the justice of this world. That's your world. Let's be very clear. You're identified with that. Behold the man. Crucify him. And they took him. No, they didn't take him. Jesus bearing his cross went out. There was no weakness in that man. He took that cross to Calvary. And there they crucified him. In the midst of two malefactors. Nailed to a wooden gibbet. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. My Savior was cursed for you and for me. And he was there, the object of derision, the object of mockery. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. How true those words were. They didn't mean them in truth, but they were true. He could not save himself. He went there purposefully in order that he would give himself a ransom for you and for me. He paid the price you and I could never pay. We hear him say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's a scene that should burn itself into your mind. For that is what it cost my Savior for me and you. But you know, we say it reverently. That didn't save me. It was the hours when God blotted out the scene. It was those 3 hours when a holy God poured out upon him his judgment against sins. Those 3 hours when blackness covered the whole earth, as well it might. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Oh, thank God that he gave himself. We hear that wondrous shout, a shout of triumph, a shout of victory. It is finished. The work completed. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. The man. The perfect man, so satisfying to a holy God, and there he gave himself for you, for me. They took his body, Nicodemus and Joseph, they wrapped it. And they buried it. So significant that Scripture records that he was buried. Why was he buried? He was buried for you. That's what we heard this afternoon. He was buried for you. He was taken out of sight. That holy body was put in the grave away from men. But the wonderful news is that on the third day he rose again. He's not a dead savior. He died. He gave himself. But thank God he is now glorified. But he rose from the dead. And he was seen, Paul tells us, of Cephas. And then of the apostles. 500 disciples. James. And finally, Paul. Paul didn't see him here in this world. No. Paul saw him in the glory. Paul saw him when he was ascended. When he was glorified. When he had been given a name by God that is beyond every other name. Paul saw him as that light from heaven that captured him on the way to Damascus. The light that shone into his heart. And as we all know, that light got brighter and brighter. Why? Because he was more and more occupied with that man. And that's why it got brighter, because he saw him. In all his beauty. And he continued to see him because he was occupied with him. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. All of that for you, for me. We know him. I know him. I say we must be careful. I don't know your condition. Many, yes, I strongly suspect that I will see when I am caught up to be with him. But only you know. Only you know your heart. You can fool me. You can fool the brethren. But you can't fool God. He knows the heart. What's your heart? Are you like some of the people that Paul spoke to? Paul preached the gospel before he got to Corinth. He spoke in any number of places. What did they say when they heard the gospel? Well, Felix said, well, I'll hear you some other time. Hoping that Paul would pay him money to get out of prison. But he was there for 2 years, and he still would hear him again. Is that you? What about Agrippa? What did Agrippa say? Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Is that you? Are you an almost? Or are you like Festus? Paul, you're mad. Talking about people being raised from the dead? You're mad. Is that you? Is that what you think? What's your excuse? You got a different one? Are you like the people on Mars Hill? Who are just interested to hear any old story? Anything that's new. Ah, yes, want to hear it. Thank God there were a few on that hill who listened. Among whom were Dionysius and Damaris and a few others. Are you amongst a few others? Or are you amongst the large group? Only you know. Only you can make that known to us. And you don't need to do that. You need to deal with God. What did Paul say when he preached the gospel on Mars Hill? He didn't say, please, will you believe? Not at all. Paul said, God commands all men everywhere to repent. That's you. That's all men, everywhere. Don't leave anybody out. Have you? Or are you saying no to God? Are you prepared to argue with God? That's what you're doing. All have sinned and come short. We read it this afternoon. And you're saying, no, that doesn't apply to me. I'm different. Are you? You ready to meet God? People meet God without warning. There are some who realize that they are leaving the scene. The vast majority don't know. Do you? And if you do, what then? What is your future? Where will you spend eternity? Jesus died for your sins. That which keeps you away from God, he died for that very purpose. In order that you can live happily, he was buried. Same thing. He was put out of sight. That's what happens when you believe. The old you is put away. You believe that you have new life, right? You believe that when the Lord Jesus saves you, you have new life. Let me tell you, you have old death at the same time. You just didn't realize it. But your old man was crucified at the same moment as you believed. You just didn't realize it. All those problems of Romans 6 and 7, they were dealt with way back. Oh, get a hold of the gospel. This is the gospel. This is good news. Something that will give you peace, security, now and to all eternity. And you're saying to me, not tonight. I don't want it. Really? That's your attitude tonight? Oh. It's too important to ignore. My parents are going to heaven. That's nice. Doesn't mean you are. Oh, I'm still young. Yeah. I've lots of relations who died younger than me. You ready? Today? You ready tonight? I'm not thinking about you dying. I'm thinking about the Lord coming. If he came tonight, the day of grace is over. If the Lord would come this evening, right now, I'm on my way. That would be the end of the meeting. But will you go when he comes? If you're not saved, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God, you will not go. You will spend eternity in the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, and that's your company. That's who will be there in all the misery of separation from God, and you will know it. You will fully appreciate what you missed. Well, you won't fully appreciate it because you won't be there. But you will fully appreciate you had the opportunity and you said no tonight. And you'll never forget that as long as you exist in the lake of fire. As long as you live in the lake of fire. All your senses will be there. That's what we read about that rich man and Lazarus. He knew, he remembered, he felt, he could speak, he could see, but he was lost. You're prepared to do that tonight? We pray not. You have today. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow, not later. Now. It's already gone. And maybe that was your last breath. Oh, tonight, you have a further opportunity to accept God's great salvation. So great salvation. The wonder of it. To spend eternity with the Lord Jesus. The one who gave himself for you. The one who loves you so much that he came, as we spoke about earlier, for you, that one, I'll be there. Many in this room will be there. Will you? It's solemn. We pray that tonight the Holy Spirit will work in your heart in order that you may repent toward God and have faith in the Lord Jesus. What he said, he will do. He that believeth on the Son, 'tis true, hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, I don't understand anybody who says no to such an offer. Beyond the mind to take in. That person could be so unwise. A person could say, I don't want to do it. Wonder if in closing we might